you can't just make one decision and then, you know, everything's going to turn out. I mean, you got to do your research. You got to analyze things. You got to make certain that the decision you're going to make is the right decision, or you're going
to
get stuck.
The one decision you need to make, you already know what it is. Everybody has one pressing decision you know you need to make. And for me, my conversation with my wife led to us taking care of our health, which led to a business, which led to God revealing a gift, to me being a speaker and writing a book. So often we're so worried about what we need to do 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years from now, but it's what you do today, the one decision today, and then God will reveal to you what you need to do next.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hey there, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner.
Yeah, and I'm curious, are you just one decision away from your biggest breakthrough?
Are you asking me that?
Well, I'm asking whoever wants to listen.
It's sort of a rhetorical question, isn't it?
No.
No, but
Breakthrough,
but I need to make a decision on which running shoes to get, and I've been trying to.
Yeah, you actually really do, because it's driving me nuts. Pick a pair of shoes.
But I was one decision away from a major breakthrough a number of years ago. Uh-huh. When I asked you to marry me.
Oh, that's true.
And that decision led to all kinds of things. All good.
Okay.
All good.
I was like, where are you going with that? We are actually all one decision away from just changing the trajectory of our life.
Yes.
So what choices are you making? What decisions are you not making? It can just really affect your future.
Well, nobody knows that better than David Atkins. He's our guest today, and you are going to be absolutely inspired, intrigued, and fascinated when you hear him talk about the whole process of decision making and how to go about that. He's a former New York State trooper, 9/11 first responder, and was once named both Trooper of the Year and Investigator of the Year. And then he later transitioned into business and built a multi-million-dollar direct sales organization from scratch.
Yeah, and now David is a keynote motivational speaker. He's an author and the founder of the One Decision Away philosophy, a mindset that has helped thousands of people take bold action and level up their lives.
Yeah, I love the way he unfolds his story too, by the way.
It's because
you know, think about it. He went from New York State trooper to he's on stages now speaking to 20,000 people. You're going to love his enthusiasm. And he shared his message with Fortune 500 companies, with audiences over 20,000, and then people from all walks of life who are looking for purpose and discipline and breakthrough.
Yes. And he is a husband, a devoted husband, and a dad to three amazing daughters. And so if you have ever wondered, do I really have what it takes to have a breakthrough? Then really this conversation is going to be for you. Yeah. So enjoy. Yeah. Well, hello, David Atkins. Welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. We are delighted to have you.
Hello, guys. How are you? Todd and Wendy, great to be here.
Hey, listen, first and foremost, if you are not in a good mood today, you need to keep listening because his enthusiasm will automatically cheer you up.
Or you're going to have to watch his incredible smile on YouTube because it's already going to make your day.
Well, listen, as we mentioned in the bio, you've got a lot of things going and we just want to dive right in. So, David, let me ask you this. Take a moment. Take us back to those early days, like before all the accolades and before the speaking stages. Was there a defining moment somewhere along the way that you realized you needed a real breakthrough?
Absolutely. So a little bit about me. I'm a married father of three daughters. I'm a girl dad, right? So I'm very proud to be a girl dad. But my wife and I, about the year 2010, so about 15 years ago, we were in a much different place. Yes, I was a New York State trooper. I was actually an investigator at the time, which is our detective division. My wife was a school teacher teaching elementary education. We had two daughters going on three. And I have to say, there was a time then that we were six figures in debt at the time, and we were living paycheck to paycheck. And we would be arguing over things like the grocery bills. I remember we'd be bickering over things like the grocery bills and up until that point in my life, with the success I had in things in childhood and just with the state police, I was the New York State Trooper of the Year in 2003. Like, I always found I was hitting goals, but all of a sudden I looked at my own life and I'm like, is this the way this is supposed to be? Like, we were simply surviving in life, not thriving in life. Like, absolutely. And not that we were in conversations of divorce, but I questioned, like, this is not a way to live. My wife at the same time was struggling to lose the baby weight. I was about 25 pounds heavier than I was now. And I remember saying, I needed to have a conversation with my wife. And not when my kids, like, you know, the witching crazy hours of 6 o'clock at dinner. No, it was like 9 o'clock at night. I'll never forget. And I said, I need to speak to her about, we can't continue on this path. And I had all the fear and self-doubt, you know, to have this tough conversation saying, what if she doesn't believe, you know, that things are as bad as I think? What if she thinks this is the norm? You know, credit card debt is the norm. And I was nervous to do this, but I remember looking her in the eye this one evening, I'll never forget, and just kind of like, babe, we cannot go on like this anymore. Like, we have to, something needs to change. Like, we can't be even arguing and bickering over the grocery bills. And I was blessed that, you know, she heard me out and agreed. And the first thing we decided to do was, let's take care of our physical health. And we started with a at-home workout program called P90X. You guys, I know. Tony Horton.
Well, just let me interrupt for a moment, because had you known about Visibly Fit, you probably would have done Wendy's program, Visibly Fit.
Yeah, I should have had you on my Visibly Fit podcast. Right. Yeah. But this
absolutely
is good.
Hey, P90, absolutely. Both of us, we've done P90X. So, so you jumped into P90X.
I jumped into P90X because, you know, at that time, being busy with kids, it was an at-home workout. And I was a gym goer. Like, I went to the gym, but I just was kind of going through the motions. And it took a good 2 months of one of my partners in the state police trying to get me to do this program. And I finally ended up doing it. That's a whole other story. But I did it, and it killed me. And my wife joined along, and we did it at 5 a.m. before the kids get up. And people would be like, David, 5 a.m., I need my 8 hours of sleep. I'm like, I don't know, sleep 6 hours, sleep faster. I don't know what to tell you, but we're going to start at 5 a.m. before our kids got up. And we did the workout. We had amazing results. So it went from like the one decision to talk to my wife. And then we went on this fitness path, had great results. And then we saw that there was a business opportunity with the parent company of P90X, which was Beachbody, right? And it's the one that right away when I looked into it and I spoke to people about it, it's a pyramid scheme. It's multi-level marketing. Why are you wasting your time? But I was at a point where, you know, we were transferring balances from one 0% interest credit card to another and playing that shelf game. And I said, well, what if this part-time, you know, opportunity to be a coach, as they called us, could help us get out of debt? Like, people, we became walking billboards. So I made that, I like to say, the decision then, the one decision to pursue that business. And in 2 years, we paid off six figures in debt and and became million-dollar earners and built a team to 1,400 people internationally. And then a pivotal point, and I can share with you guys, I believe that was a time that God revealed to me a gift I didn't know I had, because Beachbody started saying, hey, can you share your story, you know, at our event? You know, you have this, you're a New York State Trooper investigator, you have three daughters, you're married, you built this big business. How did you do it? And it started off in a room in a library at a small event for 15 people. Then they had me speak to 100, then 500, then 1,000. Then I'm in the NFL Superdome speaking to 20,000 people. And that's when some executives were in my ear, were like, David, you have a gift like to speak in your story and it's powerful. Have you ever thought of being a keynote speaker? And I'm like, a keynote speaker? Now, at the time, I was a captain with the state police. So I ran the county I live in, Westchester County. We handled 400,000 to 500,000 911 calls a year. Wow. So I had that. And then I had this business and I had three daughters. And now it's
so
like,
you were not stressed at all.
Exactly. I wasn't, you know, burning the candle at both ends. But I like to say, in 2021, I fueled my faith and starved my fears. Right. And
that's so good.
And I took that leap of faith, that made that one decision, when again, and I think many times in these decisions I made, people were not always supportive. People told me it's the wrong move. It happened when I went for Beachbody. It happened when I was about to leave the state police and retire. I had 22 years, but people were like, you're going to about to be promoted to major. Like, you had such a great career. But I just felt that this calling, that this gift to speak to make a bigger impact in the world. I had an amazing career with the state police, met amazing people, but I just felt like it was time to try something else. And I took the leap of faith and retired in 2021, right when there were no events because the country was shut down.
Yeah. Well, that takes a leap of faith right there. And so I want us to talk about your faith, if we can go that direction just for a moment, because our listeners are all about wanting to hear about your faith and maybe your breakthrough within that. And just like, let's take it back to David Atkins when he was a young lad. And how were you brought up and what was your faith like? And,
love it. I think it's so important because it's so important in my life now. So I am Catholic. I was brought up Catholic. I went to private Catholic school from, you know, nursery school through high school, Saints Philip and James School. If any listeners are in New York, Long Island, I went to Saints Philip and James, then went to St. Anthony's High School. I did not go to, you know, a Catholic college, but we were church going family every Sunday. So I would go to church every Sunday, and that was part of my life. And even before, I think my faith became even bigger. Not that I was going through the motions, but I was raised Catholic. I'd go to church on Sunday. And that's when I, you know, that's kind of what I did. But I feel a big thing, Wendy, in the last 5 years, like I never lean into my faith so much, because there comes a point in time that you got to let go and let God, I guess, is what I would say. And when it was like, I know this gift that I have to do, everybody in the outside world saying it's crazy to follow this.
Yeah.
But I'm a big believer that, you know, there's a reason that that's put in your mind. There's a reason you feel that in your gut. Mm. Like, that's like the decision I need to make. And I'm also a big believer that if you're willing to do everything in your power, like work hard, I always worked hard, do all the things, that eventually you need to surrender it to the big man. And for me, it was, I'm just going to surrender it to God. Like, I'm making the right decision that this is going to work out, taking this risk to try a be a speaker on a stage and compete against some big name celebrities or sports athletes. And I still use it every single day. Like even now, I just signed exclusively with an agency, and that was a leap of faith. Like, is this the right decision? Am I doing this? But I'm always about, you know, every morning, I start with gratitude and prayer every single morning before I do my workout. Like, the first hour is mindset work. It's gratitude. It's prayer. It's thanking God and just putting things in my path, you know. And
David, I got to ask you, because you mentioned leap of faith, probably, I think, three or four times now, and everybody can relate to this leap of faith thing.
Yeah.
I think when we think of leap of faith, we envision ourselves standing on the edge of a cliff.
Or jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah.
We did that.
That's true. Not knowing, though, not knowing if I got a parachute and is God going to catch me.
Right.
You know, you're this, you know, decorated officer, you're an entrepreneurial success. You've got success just oozing out of you. But I'm guessing that there was some process that had to take place inside of you to overcome internal battles so you could even get up to the edge of that place where you had to make that decision and that leap of faith. What's that process that everybody needs to go through to get to that point? Because so many people are crippled by hurts and fears and baggage.
Absolutely.
So talk to us.
You know what the secret was, I feel, for me, was when 2 years into my business, somebody said to me, I kind of hit, not that I was going well, but I was trying to get to another level. And the question my mentor said to me, and he was a man of faith, said, David, what are you doing for personal development? What are you doing to read? What books are you reading? What are you listening to? And I thought, and I think this is the secret to success. I thought, no, like, I'm a state trooper. I'm good. I don't need all of that rah-rah stuff. And it wasn't until I actually heard that. Then I saw John Maxwell speak at one of our conferences, and it was right when he published his book, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. And once I heard that and I started reading and learning from people that are more successful, number one, it is very paramount that a common denominator with a lot of people successful is their faith in God. And I had my faith, but it was like, maybe I need to lean more into this and I need to be coachable and teachable. So like, the David Atkins I am now is different than I was in 2010, because I have read hundreds of books, everything by John Maxwell or Darren Hardy or with Tony Robbins, so many authors that I love. So every day, at least 10 minutes a day, to answer your question, Todd, it's like, 10 minutes a day, I am listening to something that's going to help grow my mind. It could be a podcast. It could be a YouTube motivational video. I'm always reading a book. And I think that opened my mind to so much more, because the vast majority of people, I like to say, they live life by default. We wake up and just go through the motions of life every single day. We accept it for what it is instead of leading to where we want to go, right? We wake up and we go to this. Yeah, and I say, this is somebody else's agenda. So like the night before I go to bed, my phone, first off, all notifications and banners. Well, that's a picture of my family. It's always off. It's always off. No notifications and banners. I need to be where my feet are. But the night before, my phone goes on do not disturb. My family can get through to me, by the way. People are like, but what if your family has to get through to me? It will ring for them. But when I wake up in the morning, I don't want to be sidetracked to my inbox. Like, that hour for me is the gratitude, is the prayers, the personal development. But it wasn't always like that, Todd. It was when I got introduced to personal development, and it was John Maxwell, like I said, that was the decision then that just kept opening doors to learning and growing more and leaning into my faith more and joining parish council at my church like I did last year. And then 2 years ago, I'm like, I'm going to join men's Bible study, and then really reading the Bible. And I loved it. Like, I'd come home and then watching The Chosen at the same time.
Yes.
Like, all these things were happening. And I'm like, this is my superpower right now, because I'm doing things.
There you go.
That everybody's like, you shouldn't be doing that. You really want to be, you want to be an author? David, you aren't like an English major, but it was always about following my heart and listening to the bigger powers that be.
You've mentioned three really practical things. One is, you mentioned like 10 minutes. I just spend 10 minutes a day listening to podcasts or reading books. And I think that makes it much more achievable to make sure you're putting in the right stuff, just a short period of time. But you also take that hour in the morning, that quiet hour, which is just, I think, so
that's the power hour.
It's so important. That's the ingredient, spending that time quiet and with God. And then that's the third thing. I mean, you're leaning more into your faith now. So this is not some sort of rocket science, out of reach kind of process to go through to prepare yourself for those leaps of faith.
But a lot of our listeners are feeling stuck, and it's not because they lack vision. It's more that they're afraid. They're afraid to act. And so they're like, but I've got faith. But do you? You know what I mean? So it takes that whole other level of faith, right? So what would you say to someone that really feels paralyzed right now, and they just feel like they're going to make the wrong move? And because you've been there, you felt that way.
Absolutely.
What would you tell them?
Oh, I love it. So I define the one decision away philosophy. My thing is a choice made in the present moment, backed by courage and faith, to move you one step closer to your goal. So we spoke about faith, right? But faith, often it's the fear that paralyzes us to go on the faith, right? Well, I say we need one word, one simple word. I get scared every time I get up on stage, but if we all can have a little bit of courage paired with the faith, that helps you take that one step forward, right? And for me, like I tell people, parallel to that, the most important thing is you have to have a strong why, and it's got to be bigger than yourself. Like for me, what drives me is my three daughters. What drives me is my wife, to give them the best life possible. What drives me is when people maybe are in tears or come to me after I speak, and I'm like, my goodness, if I did not take that leap of faith to retire or have that conversation with my wife, I wouldn't have been able to impact this person that's been struggling in their life, because except for one tiny speck on this earth, the world is made up of people other than you and I, right? So for me, it really was having a strong why, which is for me now, it's so much bigger. It's for others and my family, and courage, because every day you just need a little bit of courage, because I'm not saying we shouldn't have fear. We all have fear. I fear every single day. We all have it. But it's about taking that one step and leaning into it with a little bit of courage.
Yeah, just think of Joshua and Caleb. You know, and the courage that they had
at an older age, I might add,
in order to get to the promised land. But, you know, here's your book, The One Decision Away. And I really want to encourage people to get this book. And would they go to Amazon to get The One Decision Philosophy?
So it's on Amazon. It's very easy to find online.
Yeah, good, good. Well, I encourage them to do that, because one decision really can change everything, as you say. And, you know, everyone really is just one decision away to experiencing their best life ever.
Right.
And so, I mean, we can hear it in your voice. We can see it on your face. Like this, you're living your best life.
But I'm going to play the skeptic for just a moment.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Okay. Because some people, David, are going to interpret this as like, this is being way overly simplistic. you can't just make one decision and then, you know, everything's going to turn out. I mean, you got to do your research. You got to analyze things. You got to make certain that the decision you're going to make is the right decision or you're going to get stuck. So this jumping off a cliff, you know, leap of faith stuff, I don't know. I like to think things through. I'm practical. I'm analytical.
Analysis
I can't just make a decision and go. Yeah. So what do you say to that?
No, well, I say, you know, number one is the one decision you need to make, you already know what it is. Everybody has one pressing decision you know you need to make. And for me, the one decision, and this is the interesting thing, I always say, it's not because I just spoke to my wife at the time. That was the pressing thing in my life. It didn't only mean that I'm only trying to improve my marriage, because that my conversation with my wife led to us taking care of our health, which led to a business, which led to God revealing a gift, to me being a speaker and writing a book. So don't worry. So often we're so worried about what we need to do 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years from now, but it's what you do today, the one decision today, and then God will reveal to you what you need to do next, right? So for me, like, it's, I don't worry about, I literally focus on, how do I be better today than I was yesterday? What is the one pressing thing I need to do now? And I stack the ability to have the discipline to make the one decision. And I tell people, for you, it may be your health. For you, it may be your marriage. For you, it's to go to the promotion. Maybe for you, it's to get back into your faith. I don't know what it is, but I do know that if that one pressing decision, if you make it with a little bit of courage, that God will reveal to you what to do next. Focus on the 24 hours today.
Yeah, and the ripple effect of that one decision philosophy, right? So let's talk about that for just a moment, because as a wife, I want to hear how, you know, your decision created this ripple effect within your family, and then maybe even extended family. Like, I would love to just hear that ripple effect and what they're doing now because of your one decision.
Oh, it's amazing. So it ultimately led to, my wife was a school teacher with her master's degree plus 60 credits, and we were able to retire her earlier to be home with our three daughters, which she loves. So she came home and retired early because our beach body business grew, and now we're getting to do things that we would have never thought we'd be able to do possible. And then even when this book launched and I was like trying to get climbing the bestseller list, like all of a sudden my mom became like a superhuman army of her own. And she's out there like, my son's book. And like, so it's just had this ripple domino effect. And it wasn't always that way, Wendy, because sometimes your family are your harshest critics, right?
That's right.
And I will tell you, like, I had that too. Like, Kristen says to me, my wife's name's Kristen, that when I told her, when I spoke to her, and then I said, I think this business, when we decide to do it, can change our life. She said, I want to, in her mind, she told me after the fact, I know I wanted to believe you, but I just didn't think like this is going to happen for people like us, you know? And, but she's learned through me. She's like, but you are, from childhood to now, like, you set your mind to something and I'm just relentless, just leaning into it and just keep going. Like, I won't accept failure. So she's learned that early on. She struggled, but she supported me. But now the ripple effect, my mom's on board, and then now my wife, and now my daughters. That's the biggest thing. One of my messages I share is like, my so my middle daughter, who's 17, plays ice hockey. And for 2 years, she asked to play ice hockey from 6 to 8 years old. And we told her no. Like, I knew nothing about the sport. I played baseball growing up. And finally, like, we looked out our window in a February afternoon in New York. It was like 8 degrees out. And there's my daughter dragging up this plastic hockey net up our driveway and shooting tennis balls in. And my wife and I are like, all right, I guess we should sign her up. Well, fast forward, she became this elite hockey player. Her team finished like top 25 in the country 2 years ago. She's talking to some colleges to play. And we watched her have a work ethic of when she faced adversity, how she handled herself when she failed. And for my wife and I, we said, this story is, when I share it on stage, it's not about my daughter's success in ice hockey. Little did my wife and I know that my daughters watched every single thing that my wife and I did. We think our kids only listen to what we say. It's what you do.
Yeah, and when you give up on
your goal, when you give up on your goals and your dreams and you quit on yourself, you think it's just affecting you. No, your kids are watching every single thing that you're doing. So now my why is like, I have three daughters I need to raise to strong, powerful women. And it's how we respond. And just 6 months ago, in November, we were notified. I don't even think I shared this with you guys. Without warning, that Beachbody closed the network marketing arm of the company. So in 60 days, we lost it was done. And my wife and I, we have a 48-hour rule. We get 48 hours to be on our soapbox. And we were struggling, stressed, angry. But after 48 hours, we're like, we can't control what happens to us, but we can control how we react. And we needed to say, our daughters are watching us. So for me, it was, all right, leaning into faith again. Thank goodness I started this speaking business and it's growing. And then my wife pivoted and joined another company. And that's kind of her thing now. But it was bigger than for us. It was the ripple effect of our daughters are going to see how we respond to losing something that was instrumental in our life. And in the end, I did a video on it because I wanted them to see it, to say, I find a lot of, there's a lot of anger towards Beachbody, but I'm grateful for Beachbody, because if it wasn't for Beachbody, mom wouldn't be home. I wouldn't have found out this gift of speaking. I wouldn't have had these opportunities. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. So yes, we were angry for 2 days, but I flipped it to finding the gratitude, and I wanted them to see that.
Well, God does not waste anything, David, at all. That's the truth. And I love that it wasn't just really for, you know, your wife and your daughters that you wanted to have a good attitude and teach them, but also all of your mentees, you know, the people that were under you were watching you and how you were going to respond, right? Yeah. So that even creates a ripple effect in how they were probably going to respond for the same situation. So
I think sometimes, David, too, we make that one decision. It's a good decision. We see good outcomes, but we forget that that might just be seasonal, not lifetime. And I wonder if you've experienced that in your own. I mean, it sounds like you have. I mean, you made the one decision to do the Beachbody's thing, and there was no guarantee that that's going to go on, you know, ad infinitum. It came to an end. And then I love your 48-hour rule.
That's good.
Okay,
like
that's really, really good. Just take your 48, you know, throw your tantrum, whatever you got to do.
I need a 48
hours. Exactly. Yeah, but just don't do your 48 hours around me, okay? Listen, I just want to—I want to make mention again of your book, because I was just looking at the table of contents. I haven't read this yet. I'm going to. But I love some of the headings of the chapters, which sort of just flesh out your whole philosophy. And so I want to encourage listeners to pick up this book. You're going to find out about, you know, it's sometimes going to be very lonely along the way in making those decisions. You've got to overcome procrastination. Hello.
Yeah.
That's a big, you got to face your fears. Listen, you've got to stop comparing yourself to others.
Yeah.
You've got to let the past go.
So let's talk about a couple of those actually, because I saw you go, when we said lonely.
Yeah.
So, because there is something true about sometimes it's a little lonely at the top, so to speak.
Yeah.
Let's talk through that, because loneliness is an epidemic and people don't realize
absolutely.
That it's a lonely place.
Totally. And all those points, it's funny when you're saying them, because how it came to be is when I brain dumped like this book, I wrote everything down, like what comes to mind. And I realized I had all these I had these bubbles with all these thoughts. And I'm like, oh my goodness. All right. These are the chapters.
Yeah.
And then like half of them were, these are the obstacles you're going to face, which I'll talk about you being lonely. And then the other half were like, but these are the ways to overcome the obstacles. So then I'm like, oh, I have two parts of the book. So that's kind of how I broke it up, because that's how it came to me.
Yeah.
And one of them, lonely along the way. And that was a chapter because my wife said, I'll never forget, I was in my office where I am now. It was like 11:30 at night, and I was working, and I'm like, I'm doing all of this work, you know, trying to grow as a speaker. I'm by myself. Nobody's motivating me. Nobody's cheering me on. And she's like, David, you've said this before. This has to be a chapter in your next book, because this is where you have to understand this is part of the process. Mm-hmm. This is part of the growth. This is part of the test, you know?
You aren't really alone. Because you have the Lord with you.
And that's it. Because I reference God's in my book. And I even mention, you know, multiple times, like, if you're not a person of faith, I get it, but I'm going to share me. And at times that's when I would just surrender. Like, I know I'm doing this work, but I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And sometimes you need to be your own hero sometimes, right? So
that's right.
I want people to know that, because I think what people think is that when they start on this new journey to grow or improve or anything they want to become more, that you're not going to feel motivated all the time. You're not going to have people cheering you on. And motivation doesn't work like that. It's about starting, and then you feel motivated, you know? And I even talk about science in the book. There's the ventral tegmental area of your brain, the VTA, that's where you release the dopamine and all those feel-good chemicals, right? When you exercise is one of them. Mm-hmm. And I say to people, like, how many of you, like, on a random Saturday, this is like on stage, have like a bunch of errands you have to run and you do them. And just by crossing off the list, you feel good about yourself. I said, that's because your body, it's a sense of fulfillment. You're getting things done. I said, the one decision away moving forward, it's the same thing. It's not about procrastinating. It's okay to be lonely. Keep going because I understand it's part of the process. And a chapter in there I talk about is principles over emotions.
I love
which
that
is a
one.
Whole other one is making decisions based on principles, not that's on how you feel on emotions.
Yeah, that's one of the chapters that I was just looking at because you're very practical. I mean, you do mention all the obstacles because we have to relate to those and understand them. But then you move into the practical applications and you've got 12 chapters, really 12 different strategies to overcome these obstacles. They're very practical. Follow your gut, the best teammate, use your faith, focus on what's in front of you. I just love that because it is so... it's so relatable and so practical. And I have to stress, it's so doable.
Yeah.
These are like, you're not telling us or acting as though we're all going to be, superheroes in this whole process. We're going to grind it out in the process, right?
Yeah. We just need to realize we're all superheroes.
Yeah. But love the practicality. Yeah. So let me just ask you, on all of these different strategies that you mentioned, is there any one that seems to surface above the others that if I said, look, I can only pick one, which one would that be?
I would say at this point in my life, I feel that if I do everything in my power I'm supposed to do, then I can surrender it up to God and it puts me at peace. Like I have to go on that every single day. Like there's ebbs and flows, right, in life. This summer, I had a very busy spring speaking. Then the summer, and now looking back, it's interesting when you look back, things make sense. But while you're in it, they don't make sense. This summer, my speaking really slowed down. Now that my business was also taken away from me 6 months earlier. So there's a little bit of like, what's going on? Why am I not speaking as much? And I finally was like, every day I'm like, I'm doing the work. I'm focusing on my book launch. And if I do everything I know I need to do, then God's going to do everything that I know he needs to do. So I'm okay. That's the biggest. And that's why there's a couple chapters, you know, when I talk about your best teammate, that's him. At the end, I talk about, you know, surrendering. And I think that's super important to me because... that's the only way when you're lonely for me to keep going every single day, you know, is to do that.
When you're at the end of yourself, then
that's
things
it.
Can actually...
that's literally it, Wendy. I like that. Yeah. You're at the end of yourself when I'm like, all right, I did what I can do, you know, and now it's in your hands.
So I'm just curious because there is, you know, you wrote a chapter on it as well and I read the chapter, but about comparison. And that is just such a big, big issue in society in general with social media and everything, but especially in the business that you were in. I'm just curious, did you guys kind of fall into that trap of comparison at all?
How did you avoid it?
I know the chapter, but our audience doesn't.
You still struggle with it today. It's a natural feeling, but I like to say, number one, do not compare the highlight reel you see on social media to your everyday life.
Yeah.
Because I think often... 99.9% of people, and you probably would agree, are not willing to be vulnerable and share their struggles on social media. They're just not. And the thing is, we compare our daily struggles to what we see on social media. So I drive that point home. I think that's super important. I also talk about not comparing your chapter one to somebody else's chapter 12. I think that's so important. So often you're comparing, like and I'll tell people to knock it off. I'll have newer speakers. Like, David,
that because you're from New York. You can say knock it off.
Right. Yes, you can.
But when people will compare or say, David, how did you all of a sudden you're speaking like you just started speaking? I'm like, you don't understand. For 10 years for Beachbody, I spoke for free for thousands of people. You're seeing my last year. This has been a 15-year journey. But I even still struggle with it now. And in the chapter, Wendy, I mentioned it's okay. And in my first book, I talk about it. If there's somebody you look up to, maybe somebody is a friend of yours you appreciate, is a mentor in your field, and they're at a level you want to get to, and you start feeling that you're comparing or it's affecting your headspace, it's okay to snooze them on social media.
Totally.
Because sometimes you have to not see that in your face so you can refocus yourself. And not that I've been guilty of it, I do it. If I find all of a sudden I'm in a negative space, like I know the principles that I need to do to realign myself. It's like, all right, I'm going to limit my social media time, which I'm getting much better at every day. I only use it when I need to, but I will snooze people. I love the people. Sometimes it's like,
it's healthy boundaries.
Exactly. It's setting boundaries. So comparison is real, but I've also been able to step back and be objective and recognize when I'm doing it and recognize what I need to do to get out of it. And if I'm really there, I also, back to my 10 minutes, I'm a big believer, I will double down on personal development. If I find I'm in a season down, I'm like, all right, 10 minutes is 20. And when I'm running today, I'm not listening to music. I'm listening to some more personal development or motivational or good, say, Christian music. And when I'm in the car, I'm not listening to the news. I'm listening to another book. Like, I become obsessed with funneling my mind.
I find that hard to believe with you, David.
Yeah, really obsessed.
With positive stuff. Right. So yeah, that's what I do.
Oh man. So listen, there are some who are thinking, you know, man, I'd like to be like David. And he's saying, don't be like me. Be like God wants you to be.
Right.
Yeah.
But there are some, and Wendy referenced this earlier, who are feeling a little stuck or maybe a little discouraged or maybe
have
a little
tried, quote unquote, everything. You know,
yeah. Or maybe a little worried or even regretful. David, they might be thinking, I think I missed the boat on that one decision back then, and I don't know where to go from here. It's like, what do I do now? If I think I've missed my moment, I mean, what's next for me?
Yeah.
How do I get there?
I think the answer to that, number one, is you always got to give yourself some grace. I think sometimes we're so hard on ourselves, and I think that's super important. Number two is, and I'm going to share a story, is I had a 78-year-old man that I was speaking at a big banking event. And he came up to me, he said, David, I was almost ready to give up on my life, but you let me know it's never too late. Because I say, you have breath, you have fresh air, you have a heartbeat, you still have time, right? It may be a page in your life, it may be a chapter in your life, it's not the book of your life. You still have time. And I think that's super important. You know, I think we think that life is over at 40, 50, 60, 70, and it's not, because you do have each day is a clean slate to do something about it. So it starts with giving yourself some grace. Number two is to redefining your why are you doing and going for it? So that drives you in the times you don't want to do it. And number three is it's never too late. It's never, ever, ever too late.
Yeah. That's good. That's very good.
Yeah.
I'm just wanting to absorb more and more of what you're talking about because it's so relevant and so applicable to everyday life. We've got gobs of decisions to make every day. And we have to sort through what are the more important ones.
We overcomplicate it, Todd.
Oh my goodness.
We do.
And, I'll just, can I be vulnerable for a minute? I just want to share this with you.
I guess so. Sure. I don't know what you're going to share.
So in my decision-making process, I'm very German. So very analytical. So it'll take me a long time. And
he's trying to get a pair of running shoes right now. I'm like, just pick a pair of shoes.
So sometimes I feel like I'm on the horns of dilemma. It's like, I don't know what to do. It's like, if I go here, I go there. But then you'll know probably who originated this quote. It's make the decision and then make the decision work. And I find a lot of value in that, but I'm going to dig into your book expecting that when I finish it, I'm going to make decisions quicker, more easily, and better.
If you don't buy your running sneakers by the time you're done with the book, we have a problem.
Exactly. Oh man, you're an inspiration and a blessing.
You are. You're a delight, and we appreciate you. We love your heart for just wanting to help people get better. And everyone, it really is just one decision away for their next best in life. So thank you for all you're doing. And again, everyone listening or watching, go to Amazon, go grab One Decision Away, Philosophy by David Atkins. So as we wrap this up, we always, well, not always, but I'd like to every now and then, wrap up a podcast, which is something a little more fun, like asking if you have a unique hobby or something that maybe people don't know about you that you could share with us today. Like maybe you play the ukulele. I don't know. Like,
no, I'm boring. I'm a very big person into exercise 6 days a week. I just signed up for my second ultra marathon in February. It's 100K, 62 miles. So, and it's really about me always saying, what can I possibly achieve? What's next? I'm always about, what else can I do? If they could do it, I can do it. So I'm a girl dad. I love my girls. Tonight, we're going to see a Broadway show in New York City with the girls and going out to dinner. So I love my family time. That's super important to me.
Yes.
And then just me, I love my exercise and I love just doing what I do for work as a speaker. So
that's good.
I'm kind of boring.
You're not boring at all.
Can't imagine.
Okay. Well then here's just an off the cuff question before we really go. Do you have a scripture verse? This is kind of putting you on the spot that you tend to lean in to a little bit more.
Yeah,
than
I can
other
do
times?
All things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's mine. Philippians 4:13.
Yeah, 4:13. And I, Yeah, fist bump. Yeah. Right before I get on stage, I always say that to myself in a prayer, because that's a lonely time when you may have 500 people and they're looking at you, but I'm like, I'm not alone. Exactly. I can do all things strength through him, right? So that's my go-to scripture.
That's good. That's mine too. Yeah. I love it. All right. God bless you, David. Thank you for sharing with the audience. And we hope to have you back sometime.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough Podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com, where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.